Hey, you want to take your marriage to the next level? Well, here's some do's and don'ts of marriage. So the do's and don'ts of marriage. I've been married for 27 years, and I definitely have some don'ts, and I definitely have some do. Like, this is my list that keeps me good in my marriage right now. And I don't know what you think about life, but I think it's pretty smart, very, very, very smart, to talk to people who have been married and are still married and that are doing well in their marriage, because they've learned the do's and don'ts. It's not easy. We're learning how to coordinate between men and women, and we're trying to learn I'm trying to learn the language of woman. I don't know if you've ever learned that language before, but it's different. And I'm also learning the behavior of woman. You know, I just say it that way because it really is to be studied, and it really is to be, it's intriguing, it's insightful. And I want my marriage to last 100 years, right? But that means I need to be in a place of learning of the do's and don'ts, and not act like I got it all figured out. But I want to share with you the do's and don'ts according to Kirk. This is my short list, or I'd give you the whole book, right? But here's the short list. Okay, hear me out. This is my side of what works great in a marriage. Number one, it's so funny, but make your bed. I know it sounds weird, but for some reason, when the bed is made, it's like the marriage is respected. I know it sounds crazy, but it's so true. The days, and Kim likes the bed made, and of course I enjoy making the bed too, but could I go through the day and not make my bed? Yeah, I could totally do that. But it matters to Kim. And then when the bed is made, it's like this connection between her and I, that a place where we sleep is actually organized and cleaned up. And I believe that says a lot about a marriage, as if that bed is made. Number two, clean up after myself when I get ready in the morning. I don't wait for Kim to clean up after me. I put all my stuff away from getting ready in the morning. I wipe out the sink, wipe off the counter. I squeegee the shower door. I just clean up. And what that says is, if I respect me, then I have respect to give to Kim. But if I don't respect me, I notice that I don't have very much respect to pass on to Kim or my kids. So for me to have higher respect of my wife starts with how I respect me. And that's my get ready station in the morning, right? And if the more I take better care of those things, I'm showing that I really care about me, which then transfers over to Kim. So it helps me be a great husband by cleaning up after myself in the morning. Rinse my dishes off. I just finished my meal. I'm cleaning up, putting the dishes in the sink, and I rinse the dishes off. And I can hear some of you right now saying, well, continue and put them in the dishwasher, Kirk. Well, if the dishwasher's full, I can at least rinse my dishes off. But again, that shows another level of respect for my wife, because I'm caring for the things that we share ownership of. You know, we both have ownership of the kitchen and the dishes. And if I clean up, then that means between her and I that I want to keep things good and open and cleaned up between the two of us, that we don't have hard feelings. We don't just let little things sit on the edge, but we literally clean up. So when I take care of the dishes, it helps me be able to be the kind of guy that's straightforward and keep our relationship good and clean between the two of us. It's pretty wild, huh? But just think about these things, about the impact that they have on others. So find and plan times to connect. It can get to the point where Kim, my wife, is the one who is, you know, orchestrating a date or spending time together. But I gotta stay involved with that. Because if I don't stay involved, what happens is, then it looks like I don't care. Now, I'm a guy, and sometimes guy activities are just simple, you know, just kind of like, yeah, let's just do this, whatever. But I know for me, to be able to create just a fantastic marriage, I plan dates. I plan little surprises. I plan time to sit on the couch. I totally did good the other day. The other day, it was so good. I went and set up the chairs on the back porch with a little table between us, and we got these little snacks and this lemonade, and I invited her out on the back porch to sit in the sunshine. And she has talked about that for weeks. Weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. How cool it was. It wasn't big and expensive, but I was the one who made the plan. That was awesome. That was awesome. Okay, next one, super important, is to forgive each other quickly. Really care about forgiving. Be the first one to say, I'm sorry. You know, really practice and learn, study, read books about forgiveness. Game changer, save a marriage experience. Read books about forgiveness. Man, if you don't know how to forgive, you are going to have one tough relationship. But forgive each other quickly. Money stuff. Oh, let's talk about that. Money stuff. Money stuff, if you're the type that's just like, I don't want to talk about money, it's going to become a problem. You got to be willing to talk about money. Got to be willing to talk about the bills. Got to be willing to talk about the balance in the account and what you're doing with your money and what you're not going to do with your money. But if you can't talk about money, it's going to cause issues between the two of you. So get involved with talking about money. I have on here, give each other 10,000 chances to change. Not just 10, not just 20, but I have, as part of my rules, I give Kim 10,000 chances to change. All right, I give myself 10,000 chances to change. Because sometimes we have weird behaviors that we got to adjust. Give each other 10,000 chances. Here's something, calm voice equals a calm heart. So to manage my voice, that doesn't get sharp or pokey or loud or aggressive in any form, but to remain a calm voice, because then she registers how I am by my voice. And if my voice gets intense, then she says, you're intense. And it's like, no, my voice is intense. So women have a way of indicating a man's heart by their voice. And so calm voice, calm voice. Okay, gentle hands means a forgiving heart. So whenever you go to touch your sweetie pie or hold her, or hug her, or hold her hand, be gentle. Oh, just powerful. These are great things that just help nourish and keep a relationship. Super, super awesome. Okay, the don'ts. Let's talk about the don'ts. Here's the don'ts. Okay, don't yell. No yelling, zero. No yelling. Doesn't do any good. Sure, you might be upset about something, but you don't yell. You just don't yell. No yelling. Neither of you. Neither. Either one of you. No yelling. Zero. No yelling. No yelling at kids. No yelling at each other. Why yell? All you're doing is just blasting each other, right? Now, have I ever yelled? Yes. And that's why I'm telling you, no yelling. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. No hitting. That doesn't work either. Okay, don't do any of that. No arguing in the bedroom. If you got to argue, go out in the hall. Don't argue in the bedroom. That argue energy seeps into the sheetrock and into the carpet. And then it's tough to solve a discussion because the bedroom is the place to be like connected. You know, it's the part to be like physically, like just all yummy with each other and be gentle and nice. And it's a place to like heal from the day. You gotta have some room in your house that is just a safe place to go. But if you argue in the bedroom, you're just, where else are you gonna go to heal? In the kitchen? The garage? No. So protect that bedroom so it's calm energy. And if you're upset about something, say, hey, can I go talk to you in the hall? Don't do it in the bedroom. Don't mess up that safe, nurturing energy in the bedroom. No one leaves until the discussion is solved or in a level of agreement. Kim and I went through a period of time in our life where one of us would walk away, you know, or one of us would go get in the car and drive away. And that was like back in the beginning of our marriage. And that just caused problems to happen. If you need space, what you do is you agree. So I would say to Kim, hey, I need about 30 minutes of time to myself. Then can we get back together and talk more? I give myself a break, or she asks for a break. But we don't have to stand in each other's space trying to figure everything out. Sometimes you need to just step away for a second, but you have an agreement that, hey, I'm going to take a 30-minute break. Let's come back in 30 minutes and finish this discussion. But that's powerful. So the don't is don't walk away. Make an agreement of how long you're going to be gone, then arrange it, then give yourself space, then come back. Super smart, super smart. Another thing not to do is be alone with a person of the opposite sex. You just don't. That's just a no-no. I don't get in a car with another woman, and Kim doesn't get in a car with another man, no matter what's going on. We don't. It's just a rule. We don't put ourselves in those situations to create possible issues. And we just don't leave it that way. We don't leave it to where you're by yourself with somebody of the opposite sex. Because that, first, is just strange, and then it can be weird, and then it can just get weirder, and then you can have some problems. So that's a no-no. The last one is, don't use electronics to avoid real life scenarios. Think about this. Think about this. Sometimes when life gets tough, we mentally check out and go to our phone. And we go do things on our phone because we're just running away from the situation. I'm noticing in marriages today that there's too much of using electronics as an escape. Now, if you're using electronic to go find a video to study to be better in the situation you're in, that's another thing. But if you're using it to avoid or escape responsibility or accountability and being married, if you're avoiding that, every problem that's avoided or that you're avoiding solving or you're trying to escape from and you don't do something about it, it's just going to get worse. It doesn't fix itself. Nothing fixes by itself. It doesn't work. So a little more wisdom to share with you. In a relationship, you're going to have challenges, but you face challenges together and you do everything you can to keep challenges from getting between the two of you. You stay together and then you solve the challenges that are around you. And be that kind of couple that you work together to solve challenges. You both come up with ideas. And here's one more little piece of wisdom before I go, is that you hold a portion of the answers to solve the problem. They hold a portion of the answers to solve the problem. And when you both can contribute to solving the problem, wow, you're going to be powerful. You're going to be awesome. But for the do's and don'ts of marriage, I just wanted to share my list with you, because if you clicked on this video, there's something going on. And re-listen to this if you didn't catch them all. But listen to this, because I've been married for 27 years and it's a lot of wisdom. Made a lot of mistakes. And I'm also making a lot of great choices. My marriage is awesome. We forgive each other quickly. We give each other 10,000 chances. And we love each other. And it is something that we work at every single day. A marriage will not get stronger by itself, and a marriage cannot grow closer together by itself. I gotta do my part. And that's why I have my list of do's and don'ts. So maybe come up with yours and make marriage a huge priority. Hey, it's Kirk Duncan here, and thank you for tuning in, listening to this podcast. If you'd like to see the full video of this training, in the description below, you will see the link that will take you to the video to be able to see my slides, the pictures, the diagrams, everything that was going on during this training. So go check out that link, go watch it, and I'll catch you on the next podcast. Awesome.